Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan, along with Megan Turnquist. The Phase 1 trade deal between the U.S. and China officially takes effect today. All eyes are on exports to China, with the commitment to significantly increase their agricultural purchases from the U.S. in the next 2 years. Work continues on other parts of the agreement. That includes a meeting between USDA and Chinese Customs Agency to sign a protocol that allows the importation of U.S. potatoes. By February 24th, China must sign paperwork acknowledging the safety standards for U.S. dairy and pork products. And by mid-March, China has agreed to eliminate the cattle age requirements for imports of U.S. beef and pork products.
Coronavirus quarantines and lockdowns are impacting shipping at Chinese ports. Reuters News Service reports U.S. ships carrying refrigerated cargo containers of chicken are being diverted to ports in Hong Kong, South Korea, and Vietnam due to the lack of refrigerated storage space at those Chinese ports. Chinese ports have run out of space as Chinese consumers and shipping remains on lockdown due to the coronavirus.
The grain market continues to trade sideways in a very quiet trade as traders wait for news out of China. S&W trading market analyst Andy Schisler says China is on lockdown.
The thing about the transportation system, and so like if we're sending stuff over there, and so the transportation system's on lockdown too, so just a lot of things aren't working right. I mean, and maybe it's overdone, I don't know. But it's just, it does make it a fact, and that's why these markets did all kinds of weird stuff, like with crude oil breaking $10 and livestock breaking. You know, hogs is one of the worst markets I've seen, where they liquidate the February contract and went off the board yesterday on the low. It's just, and cattle is rebounding. It had no business being down there. We don't sell anything over there anyway.
And Schisler expects this market to recover, but he says it's going to take some time.
Everything's going to rebound from this. I mean, whenever I see a car crash like this, and that's what this is, it's similar to when the packing plant in Kansas shut down. It wrecked the market, but we got it all back. And I think that's going to be the case here. It's screwing up their economy here, but it will get better. It just will.
This past year was the wettest year on record in Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Former University of Minnesota Extension climatologist Mark Seeley made that point during testimony before the Minnesota House Energy and Climate Committee. That was an informational meeting about climate change and water. No action was taken.
In its first spring flood outlook for the year, the National Weather Service is calling for an above-average risk of flooding in the Red River Valley and the eastern Dakotas. The flood risk is also higher in Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, and Missouri. Saturated soils and significant snowfall are the big problem. And even if the spring weather is perfect, the Army Corps of Engineers may need to increase water flows on the Missouri River to prevent reservoirs from overflowing in North Dakota and South Dakota.
Right now, farmers are weighing agricultural risk coverage and price loss coverage options, as sign-up for either program must be complete by March 15th. South Dakota State University Extension Crops Business Management Specialist Jack Davis does not expect either an ARC or PLC payment for corn.
Because, it's not going to be below the guarantee. Our guarantee is fairly low compared to what it was back in 2014 and 15. Looking forward, as things have maybe cleaned up around the nation, not necessarily in South Dakota, guys will be ready to plant corn, and we could see quite a bit of corn planted, and that would lean towards PLC as being maybe a better choice.
For soybeans, Davis says the effective price is quite a bit below the current market. Therefore, ARC may be a better choice for farmers.
So PLC is not really expected to make payments in that, and in our county may be a better choice. And again, evaluate for your own farm. Wheat tends to kind of favor PLC. I know ARC has made some payments, but that the reference price is fairly high on wheat, and our market year average has tended to be below that over the past few years.
USDA released its long-term baseline projections for grains and livestock this morning. USDA expects mostly stable prices over the next decade. However, the average prices are expected to be below the 2010 through 2019 period, while above the 2000 through 2009 time frame. The corn price is expected to range anywhere from $3.50 to $3.60 over the next 10 years. Soybean prices are expected to range from $8.70 to $9.05 over the next 10 years. And wheat prices are expected to range from $5.05 to $5.15.
Top Third Ag Marketing market analyst Ed Dugan says traders are beginning to focus on USDA's Ag Outlook Forum acreage numbers.
That's going to be our first look at what the USDA anticipates for acreage and yields come 2020 growing season. It'll be our first look at a an S&D table. I don't know that it's going to look all that promising for corn. You know, we're 1.9 and change right now. There's talk that we could be up as high as 2.6 to 2.9 for a carryout in corn. That doesn't portend to me to 3.90 December futures.
Production projections can change dramatically based on the growing season.
We got a whole growing season ahead of us here. We are going to see a rebound in planted acres because of the PP. Hopefully we won't have 20 million PP acres again this year. But other than that, kind of a sideways trade here. Beans have kind of led the way up here. Wheat market has kind of fallen out of bed here, but wheat had been the strength here since early December. So we'll see what happens here, and we'll see what the USDA tells us next Friday at this Outlook conference.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The Chinese government sold just over 1.3 million tons of corn from its grain reserves to feed processors in their southern provinces this morning. Reuters News Service reports 23 feed providers in the hardest hit areas of coronavirus took part in that auction. China's National Development and Reform Commission says the sale will ensure feed production will resume after feed shortages were reported due to transportation restrictions in that hardest hit coronavirus area in southern China.
Compared to last year at this time, the cattle markets are experiencing increased volatility levels. That's according to South Dakota State University Extension risk management specialist Matthew Dearson. So why is this?
You've got a fair amount of risk in the fed cattle market. You've got a fair amount of risk in the proteins right now. Everything from trade disruption to concern about just prices in general, and you've had recent price declines. So fed cattle and feeder cattle on the board, the April live cattle contract has fallen about $10 a hundredweight since that October-November timeframe, and that has coincided with an increase in volatility. There's been some funds liquidating out of the cattle contracts, so that's maybe been part of the cause of some of the price pressure.
Dearson adds the cost to lay off risk in the short run has been pushed up.
This isn't the case in the grains. There you've got a much different overall supply situation. So, and relative to last year at this time was just a little bit unusually low volatility in the live and feeder markets too at this time.
According to the quarterly feedlot survey released this morning, cattle on feed numbers in Australia hit a record high at more than 1.23 million head. That's an increase of more than 92,000 head, or about 10.7% from the previous quarter. Last year's drought conditions in eastern Australia forced large commercial feedlots to push operating capacity, while many yards less than 1,000 head were operating at previously unseen levels. The growing demand for grain-fed beef also aided in this high level of feeding activity.
Kubota announced the availability of its new M8 series tractor at the National Farm Machinery Show in Louisville. Senior Product Manager for Ag Tractors, Kent Brown, says the Upper Midwest market is one reason Kubota keeps increasing tractor horsepower.
This is just the beginning of where we're going. I mean, the hydraulic capacity, the loader capacity, the size of equipment that you're using, and the handling of the hay. really is a tractor that's been designed and fits into that market very, very well. So we as Kubota understand and like to understand what our customers' needs are and then build the product around it.
Sugar beets, so with three popular herbicides, could be on the market by the middle of this decade. Beta Seed Vice President of Sales and Marketing Mark Schmidt says this will be the first multi-herbicide-tolerant sugar beet traits.
Our parent company, KWS, has been developing a new multi-tolerant, herbicide-tolerant trait that's tolerant to glyphosate, dicamba, and glufosinate. We just recently announced that it's moving from the research phase to the regulatory phase.
Schmidt says this will provide more flexibility for weed management in the beets.
It's going to give growers, we think, more choice in the herbicides they use, a greater opportunity to, again, combat those developing populations of glyphosate-resistant weeds, give them some flexibility to manage a weed management strategy for their whole farm, not just for sugar beet. And it should really help preserving and improving productivity for the long term.
Lando Lakes has new packaging for its butter that features its farmer members. The phrase farmer-owned will be above the brand on the front of the packaging. Products like stick butter will also include photos of Lando Lakes farmers and co-op members. This is the 100th anniversary for the co-op, and Lando Lakes president and CEO Beth Ford said it is important to connect the men and women who grow the food with those who consume it. Just a reminder, go online to the Red River Farm Network for news content, podcasts, and the farm calendar. That's rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Mikkel Pates. Mikkel, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week for next week?
Well, this is a story about the emerging CBD oil market in this region, and some farmers have dabbled in the hemp production for various purposes, but CBD is one of the main ones that people are trying to find some value in. And so this is a look in on one of the new processors, an outfit called Prairie Products LLC, is starting to process hemp for CBD oil in South Fargo. And so we have had a little look into how their life works with very volatile hemp prices and oil market values. And it's a kind of a mixed picture for farmers. You know, they, you know, had pretty high values earlier last summer, but then things kind of went down the other way. And so you have kind of unique ways of trying to get that business started without having to face financial problems with it.
Now, is that, are they buying hemp from farmers, or are they raising it themselves too?
Well, they're buying it from farmers. And so you have, you know, maybe a dozen farmers with 5 acres or less that produce this for this particular purpose, and then they mostly cut it by hand and dry it and bring it to this facility so that they can extract the oil using an ethanol process.
Sounds interesting, Mikkel. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week. And let's check markets before we leave you this afternoon. March wheat, Minneapolis, is down 0.75, 5.26. July is down 0.75. Chicago March wheat is down 0.01 at 5.43 1/4. Kansas City March wheat is unchanged at 4.66. March corn down 2, 3.77 1/2. December's down 3 1/4, 3.88 3/4. March soybeans down 4 at 8.92 1/4. November down 2 1/4 at 9.21 1/2. March canola is down $3.80 a metric ton at 4.60 even Canadian. February live cattle, $1.40 higher, $120.85. April is up $1.70 at $120.22. March feeder cattle, $2.32 higher, $138.60. April, $2.52 higher, $141.47. The April lean hogs are $45 higher at $64.52. And the May hogs, $22 higher at $73.07. On the farm calendar, the 2020 AMPI annual meeting next week at the Doubletree by Hilton in Bloomington. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.